Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
I'm Anissa.
And I'm Ellen.
And this is Raw. For those of you who are not Rawyers, that's our tribe.
We get real, we get raw.
Yeah. Yeah. Our thing is like no filter ever, unless it's Snapchat.
We're one take whores.
Yeah. And I'm wondering about the one take with the podcast. Boy, that'd be really interesting.
I love that. Listen, it's one take always, yeah, baby. One take always.
It is. You always know. You never know what you're going to get, but you can always trust that what you get is going to be real.
That's it. That's it in a nutshell right there. Yeah. We're done. Drop the mic.
This is part two featuring Melissa Lane. All right, so I want to ask Melissa about a couple of fads, trends in the health and fitness field. I try to do research a little bit on them when people ask me about them. And admittedly, I probably could do more, but, you know, full-time job and, right, you know, range. But so my big thing is all of this happy coffee, this certain types of coffee that you can buy that are supposed to make you lose weight, or drinking coffee that has coconut oil and
butter and
stuff like that first thing in the morning for brain function. So what do you think about that?
Okay, so the coffee type of thing that's in your little tin is actually coffee mixed with some other ingredients. And obviously there's cocoa beans in there for your caffeine. There's something from a sausage tree in Africa that actually has some anti-inflammatory properties. Probably the biggest ingredient that sets off alarms in my head is purified soybean lecithin. Mm-hmm. Number one, soybeans are one of the top two genetically modified foods in our country. Mm-hmm. So that in itself scares me because we don't know what GMOs are going to do to us in the long run. The other thing is that lecithins are actually processed from a plant, in this case soybeans, and the processing actually occurs with hexane. And hexane is a component of gasoline.
I mean, just the word. I mean, yeah, seriously.
Right. And that's in the thing.
I know, in the thing.
That coffee thing.
It's not just the coffee things. There are soy lecithins in almond milk. So you really have to read your label, and you really have to. The basic thing is number one, most of those happy coffees don't have a label, which means they are considered supplements. Mm-hmm. And supplements aren't regulated by the FDA. Mm-hmm. So nobody knows that the amount of what they say is in a supplement truly is. Mm-hmm. That includes vitamins, maybe minerals that you're taking like calcium, any of your branched chain amino acids, any of your happy coffees, any of those things are not regulated by the FDA. The FDA just can't cover all the food products. Mm-hmm. So, but the lecithin is my biggest concern, that you are putting hexane into your body. And remember, our food manufacturers don't care about our health.
Mm-hmm. No.
They care about their bottom line. How much money are they making from their $60, $70 container of happy coffee?
Yeah, I have happy coffee.
So keep that in mind with supplements. Now, the medium chain triglycerides, the coconut oil, here's where we get kind of touch and go. There's some good things and there's some things that aren't exactly true. So let's start with some things that aren't exactly true. Coconut oil or other medium chain triglycerides can't kill viruses. Mm-hmm. They say they're antiviral. Well, if anything was antiviral, nobody would have HIV, HPV, HSV, a cold. Mm-hmm. Those are all viruses. And once they're in your body, you can't kill them. You just develop antibodies to them. So it's not antiviral. Does it smooth out your hair and your skin? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But I've got a little trick for you. Put coconut oil on one of your arms. Put olive oil on the other arm, put avocado oil on a leg and put motor oil on the other leg. Get up in the morning, take a shower, and see if one is softer than the other.
The other.
An oil is an oil. So it's definitely good for your hair. It's definitely good for your skin. It does not speed up your metabolism any more than eating any other fat speeds up your metabolism. So there's something known as the thermic effect of food. And every time you eat a macronutrient, it changes your metabolism to break it down. The highest thermic effect of food is protein. It has a thermic effect of about 25%. So if you eat 200 calories of a chicken breast, you burn 50, breaking those amino acids apart. Carbohydrates have a thermic effect of 10 to 12, and fat has a thermic effect of 2 to 3. It doesn't take much to turn fat into fat. But here's the good plus about coconut oil. It is a saturated fat. So fats are classified by the type of chains that they contain the most of. Coconut oil contains about 87% saturated fat and about 13% unsaturated. So they're going to call it a saturated. So saturated fats do tend to increase the plaque in our bloodstream. However, in November of 2016, Harvard researchers came out and said, "We didn't tell you guys the whole truth. Saturated fat is not as bad as we told you it was, unless you eat a lot of processed sugar to ruin your arteries prior to." The Harvard researchers were actually paid off in the 60s and the 70s to make saturated fat look worse than it really was because high fructose corn syrup was in such high demand. So processed sugar ruins our arteries much more than saturated fat. Our arteries should look like a water slide.
Right.
You should get in an artery and you should swoop. But the minute you add processed sugar, sugar is an exfoliant. It breaks down skin cells. Think about the way you
sugar
use
scrub.
Yeah, exactly. It does the same thing over time to your arteries, especially in excess. And so once your arteries are scrubbed, they now become weak. Your body sees that as a place that is inflamed. Saturated fat rushes to that place along with the rest of your immune fighters, and that's how plaque is formed. But if you stay away from the processed sugar, you won't get the damaged artery, and therefore plaque is not as bad. Okay, so it is a saturated fat. However, here's the good thing. Saturated fats come in three different lengths. Short chain, medium chain, long chain. The majority of the fat that we eat is long chain. Coconut oil, medium chain triglycerides are six or less chains of carbon. When you metabolize medium chain triglycerides, they actually get metabolized on the wall of the mitochondria. Whereas long chain triglycerides get metabolized inside the mitochondria. Okay. So obviously long chain triglycerides take longer to get inside the mitochondria. Medium chain triglycerides will get burnt up sooner.
Okay.
But what did everybody start doing? They started adding it to their diet. What they should have been doing it is substituting it for a long chain.
I gotcha.
Because it's still 9 calories per gram. So if you're just adding it, you're adding 9 calories per gram. So it would make better sense to take your long chain triglycerides, which is what you find in dairy, meat products, and substitute your coconut oils in your medium chain triglycerides.
I mean, because now you've got people who are eating a shit ton of protein, right? And a shit ton of fat and no carbohydrates.
And nobody ever got fat eating plants. Sorry, they just didn't. And plants are carbs.
Exactly.
I think that's where America messes up. Is you say carbohydrate and people automatically think goldfish, crackers, bread, rice, pasta. Well, yes, those are all carbs. But if you take out the processed carbs, the white pasta, the white bread, the simple oatmeal in a packet, and replace them with complete oats, like your whole wheat bread, your whole steel-cut oatmeal. Carbs become a lot more healthier. And yes, plants are carbs.
Okay. Yes. I don't think people think that plants are carbs. So I'm like, okay, so what are they?
Right. Bingo. So your choices are carbs, protein, and fat.
So
if
what
you
are
don't
they?
Want to call them a carb, where would you like to put them?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I understood all of that. Normally, if I read it in a textbook.
Yeah, forget about it.
Forget about it. But watching her explain it.
It totally makes
sense.
So, of course, we can see your hands moving, too.
Right.
So that helps. So I'm just going to take out your pen and paper, right?
Yeah. And because you sort of touched on it, so speak a little bit to supplements in terms of, you know, like pre-workout supplements, post-workout. You mentioned branched-chain amino acids and like all of these things that people are taking to help them.
Fish oil.
Yeah, in the gym or to, I don't know, help them burn more calories, more fat. You know, they go to the gym and they work out, and so they feel like they need to take all of this stuff.
Right. Let's back up and let's talk about what people need before a workout. Before a workout, you should have complex carbs and a little bit of protein. Complex carbs keep your insulin level lower. Any food is going to emit some insulin. Complex carbs will bring out less insulin, therefore keep your blood sugar stable. You need a little bit of protein because everybody burns a little bit of protein during their workout. You would rather burn what is in your bloodstream than have your body go looking for amino acids in your muscle. If you are eating a diet that is full of the three macronutrients, carbs, protein, and fat, you don't need to supplement with anything before your workout. The complex carbs will give you energy. Your body loves to break down carbs. 10 or 11 easy steps in the cytoplasm of your cell. Every enzyme you need is there. Mm-hmm. Protein, a little bit of it is broken down for energy unless you're not eating carbs. If you're not eating carbs, your body breaks down more protein because protein undergoes gluconeogenesis, making new sugar. Okay, but if you're eating all three, you don't need a pre-workout. A lot of people do choose to use caffeine as a pre-workout. Caffeine is proven to be a fat burner. However, the majority of the research comes from caffeine pills, like no-dos,
yes.
And not coffee and not soft drinks. They actually think that there might be an ingredient in coffee that negates the fat burning increase and the decrease in carb burning that you get from caffeine. So caffeine is proven, but not in coffee. All right. Post-workout, what does everybody need? You want to replenish your carbohydrates that you burnt, and you want to replenish your protein. So your workout should be catabolic. Mm-hmm. Right? You want your workout to break everything down so that at night when you sleep, you recover. Mm-hmm. So your workout should be catabolic. Insulin is an anabolic hormone. Think about what insulin does. It opens up the wall of the cell so you can let your food into the cell. Mm-hmm. So insulin is anabolic. It says, come here, everybody, stay in your body. That's why you don't want a simple carb before your workout. Because if you had a simple carb before your workout, it would turn your workout into a holding on fest.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to break your body down catabolically during your workout. As soon as your workout is over, your body is most sensitive to insulin within the first 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a 30-minute window that you want to get a simple sugar, which will spike your insulin levels. Take it with some protein because you want the protein to also go into your body. And the wall, your insulin receptors on the walls of your cell are extremely sensitive due to exercise.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be type 2 diabetics that were not insulin dependent.
Mm-hmm.
They ran their whole world around when did I work out and when did I eat? Because they knew their workout made their insulin receptors more sensitive. So they knew if they ate in that 30-minute window, they didn't have to take insulin. So
right?
A simple carb with a protein, preferably in a liquid form.
Okay.
Because your liquids leave your stomach sooner. Mm-hmm. So here your bodybuilders have it right. They're doing some kind of liquid with a protein, usually a whey powder. And then a lot of them will get that simple sugar in there. They'll add some frozen strawberries or something and blend it up. That way it gets through your system fast. They've got their simple sugars. They've got their protein when they need it. Branched chain amino acids you mentioned. Your branched chain amino acids, leucine, isoleucine, and valine. It's believed that your muscles are 75% of those branched chain amino acids. Well, the satellite cell theory, how your muscle grows, is all started by leucine. So people are now taking their branched chain amino acids or leucine before their workout. But apply what I just told you about the protein that you take before your workout. The protein that you eat before your workout is going to be used as energy. Why would you want to take your branched chain amino acids and use it as energy?
You want to use what's in your body as energy, right? If
You want to use just regular food. You want to take that leucine at the end of your workout when you're turning your catabolic state into an anabolic state, because anabolic is when your satellite cell theory starts. And also, this is one thing not many people know. Leucine is an amino acid. So people don't think of it as stimulating an insulin response, but it is actually an amino acid that is high glycemic. You emit a ton of insulin when you take leucine. So if you take leucine before your workout just became anabolic.
Right. Hold on to everything.
Right. If you take leucine after your workout, it's a great way to change you from catabolic to anabolic. But again, if you're eating the right amount of protein, you don't need a supplement.
That's what my mom says too. My mom's a nurse and she's like, she says the exact same thing. With that being said, what about all of these crazy? I mean, I guess it just goes back to what you said earlier about the FDA not being, you know, a lot of these things not being approved. I see people at the gym all the time who are taking, you know, C4 pre-workout drinks and all sorts of weird stuff.
Probably most of that is caffeine with amino acids. But again, if you were to really go and research, here's the problem. Most people are going to hit pre-workout supplements into their search bar. And they're going to go read about people who want to sell you those things. Whereas not many people know that if you want the down and dirty of research that has been done on real people, reviewed by your peers, where the investigator actually had to go back and see what other research has all been done, you hit in scholar.google. I think it's still .com. And then you're going to get only
peer-reviewed
that are peer-reviewed.
Okay.
If somebody's trying to sell you something on a website, don't believe the information that is coming
or someone's
up.
Blog post, please.
Yes. Yes.
Google Scholar. I look there for everything.
And a lot of people get intimidated because when you first pull up an article, you have to scroll through a lot of things that are like, oh, holy cow, am I ever going to remember or am I going to figure this out? All you have to do is go to the conclusion at the very end, and it will tell you what it concludes.
And I find that a lot of the abstracts are not even that. And I like science, but they're still totally readable for the layperson. Like you said, go to the conclusion and you'll get what you need to know without the fluff.
Let's talk about let's talk about intermittent fasting first, and then we'll talk about all these keto,
the fad diets or whatever.
Well, yeah,
I guess that's what you want to call them. But so intermittent fasting.
Intermittent fasting done where you literally cut your body off from food for a certain amount of hours. I'm not talking medically supervised fasting that you do for days. I'm talking a certain amount of hours, and that's what the research shows. It shows women should fast for 14 hours. Men should fast for 16 hours. And this is only if you are healthy. diabetics, anything like that does not apply to them whatsoever. But healthy individuals taking a break from food. Mm-hmm. So literally, that's the way you look at it. You look at it as the kitchen closes at whatever time and doesn't open again for 14 hours. How you do it is totally and completely up to you, because it basically depends on when you work out and do you want to work out on an empty stomach or not. And again, totally individualized. Obviously, if you're working out on an empty stomach, your intensity may not be as high as if you had some kind of carbs in your stomach. Nothing but water or black coffee or a green or a black tea during your fasting. Basically, what it does is it resets your body back into homeostasis. Mm-hmm. So we live in a world where food is available 24/7. There is a Chick-fil-A outside of my orthopedic surgeon's office in the building. Mm-hmm. You can walk out his door and not go outside and be in a Chick-fil-A. There's McDonald's in hospitals. What are we doing? Not too long ago, we started telling people they need to eat every two to three hours, whether they're hungry or not. That all came from the thermic effect of food, by telling us that the more often we eat,
our metabolism.
But think about it. All those thermic effect numbers that I gave you, those were percentages. Percentage means part of a whole.
Right.
So it doesn't matter whether I eat that whole in three meals or six meals. It's still the same part of a whole. So we have become grazers, where we eat all day long.
Yes.
Nobody knows what it feels like to be hungry anymore. Mm-hmm. Nobody hears their stomach growl. And your stomach growls because you have hydrochloric acid that is not mixing with anything. If there's food in your stomach and your hydrochloric acid mixes with it, it doesn't growl. But when your stomach is empty, that's when your stomach growls. So why are we telling people to eat when they're not hungry? Right. Yes, we want to make sure that if they don't eat for a period of time, when they do finally eat, that they're not stuffing themselves.
Right.
And it takes about 20 minutes for your mind to get the message that you're full from hormones. Okay. So intermittent fasting just gives your body a way to reset itself back into homeostasis, make the hormones go back to normal. Type 2 diabetes is becoming so much more prevalent because we are flooding our bodies with insulin. So our cells become resistant. They see insulin 24/7. They don't know what to do with it all the time. So that's one of the best things, is they have seen an increase in the insulin sensitivity after fasting. Think about it. When do most people have their weak points with eating? What time of day?
At night.
I would say night. Yeah. Mm-hmm. At night. Mm-hmm. Well, if you close your kitchen at 6 or 7 or whatever and say, sorry, I'm done, brush your teeth, put your retainer in, go to bed, you're not going to go back in there. And so obviously you count your hours that you sleep as part of your intermittent fasting. So with a female who wants to go 14, let's say you're going to sleep 8. I shut my kitchen down at 5 o'clock. Okay. And then I go work out. I work out at night. I don't eat after my workout. And then when I get up in the morning, I don't like to eat that workout on an empty stomach. So I'll break my fast at 7 o'clock, and there's my 14 hours. So I've done a nighttime workout of low intensity on an empty stomach, which means fat is my main fuel source. And then I've done an intenser workout in the morning, very short, because you guys know the more intense it is, it shouldn't be as long. And that's when I break my fast. But if you want to do it the other way around, that's fine. If you want to work out in the middle of the day, totally up to you. Biggest mistake people make is they say, okay, tonight I'm going to start intermittent fasting. I'm not going to eat for 14 hours. You don't do it that way. You say, if I'm going to sleep from 10 to 6, tonight I'm going to quit eating at 9. Tomorrow I'm going to quit eating at 8. The day after that, I'm going to quit eating at 7. You ease yourself into it.
The first time I tried to do it, I didn't ease myself into it. I was a freaking crazy person.
Yes.
It was like by the fourth day, I had headaches. I was, all I could think about was food.
Yes.
See,
it was awful. And then I was like, I'm never doing that again.
You have to ease yourself
into
it.
Okay, so you ease into it. Just backing off like an hour.
Or 30 minutes. Okay, even 30 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
And some people might not make it 14 hours. But isn't 12 hours of not eating better than 8 hours of not eating?
Right.
If you if you close the kitchen, you're going to see a reduction in your calories. You're not going to walk in for three more cookies before you go to bed. That's 300 calories. There's about 100 calories per cookie.
I'm really big on once I brush my teeth.
Yes.
Because I just don't want to do it again. Like it's my least favorite daily ritual I have to do is to brush my teeth. I do it a lot, but at night I'm like, I brush my teeth.
Yep. I would tell people who were trying to lose weight, brush your teeth. As soon as you're done with dinner, brush your teeth. You'll be less likely to go back in the kitchen.
It's the whole flossing thing.
Don't wait till bedtime. Go do it. Yes. Go take care of your, and you won't eat.
Yes. So there is some truth behind intermittent fasting.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Keto.
Let's talk about the keto.
Keto.
All right. Again, Paleo. We go back to the fact that America doesn't know what carbs are. So a lot of people believe they're in ketosis when they're really not. So ketosis is a survival mechanism. Your body actually goes into ketosis when you are going into starvation. It takes a female about 48 hours of very little carbs in their diet, less than 5% of their diet from carbs. We'll put them into ketosis in about 48 hours. A male, it takes about 72 hours. Because they have more muscle, they can store more glycogen. So because they store more glycogen, it takes longer to get them into ketosis. Bodybuilders, fitness competitors go into ketosis 2 weeks before every competition. Mm-hmm. And they'll tell you, how do you feel before a bodybuilding competition? They'll say, I feel like crap. I can't think straight. I feel woozy. I feel lightheaded, because carbs are the main fuel for your brain, your nervous system, and your male reproductive system. Ask a male if he feels like having sex 2 weeks before his bodybuilding competition. Mm-hmm. Your reproductive system runs on carbs if you're a man.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that your body wants to do. Your bodybuilders and your fitness competitors do it because they drop all that water weight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you've ever read the Atkins diet, which was high protein and high fat, it says cut your carbs to 25 grams, which is 100 calories, and do it for 2 weeks and don't exercise. Well, doesn't everybody love that? Have bacon and sit on your butt.
Right.
They get on the scale. They've lost 10 to 12 pounds
of water.
Yeah.
And then if you continue to read the Atkins diet, it says start exercising again and add your carbs back in, because that water loss doesn't last indefinitely. We die. We have to have water. Yeah. Our body finally goes, I'm not giving you any more of my water. So in ketosis, they are going to see a big drop in weight in that first week that they give up carbs. That kind of spurs them on. If they truly stay to 5% less than carbs, which is hard, it's really hard.
Yeah.
Try it. Try it.
I mean, even just not even knowing how much grams, you know, I'm eating just to drastically cut it sucks.
So if you're eating a 2,000 calorie a day diet, which none of us should be as females menopausal, but if you're eating 2,000 calories, 10% would be 200 and 5% would be 100. So you're looking at about a cucumber per day.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all you can have in carbs. A cucumber is about 90 calories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it's not just bread. Okay. It's not just bread that you're getting rid of.
Right.
We're talking carbs. So they're cutting out all of these phytonutrients too, which has all the vitamins and minerals
and fiber. Yes. Which keeps you clean from colon rectal cancer. Correct. So you guys just hit on the bottom line. Will you lose weight? Absolutely.
Well,
take any food group out of your diet. And can you replace all those carbs, all those vegetables you were eating with bacon? No. Plus, that's not the type of fat you want. But anytime you minimize somebody's choices in food, they're going to take in less calories. One of the worst things we ever did in America was create a buffet.
Mm-hmm.
Because you take something of everything in a buffet. Well, if you narrow it down to just three things, people aren't going to eat as much. So whenever you take a food group away, yes, they're going to cut their calories. Yes, they're going to lose weight. But here's the dangerous part. Because you've taken carbs out of your energy metabolism, your fat can no longer enter the Krebs cycle. And the Krebs cycle is one of your bigger ATP cycles. It actually goes into the biggest cycle called the electron transport chain. But your molecules can't go there if you don't have molecules of acetyl-CoA. So anyway, your fat becomes inefficiently burnt in your liver and your ketones go up. So everybody has three ketones in their body, and ketones are acidic. They keep your body from becoming too basic. Your body wants to be 7.35, which is slightly basic. Well, if you didn't have ketones, your vegetarians, their acidity, their basic level would go up, 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 up.
I'm a vegetarian.
So you would be sky high. Your body would go, oh, how do we bring Anissa back down where she should be? And that's what your ketones are for. Your ketones will keep you where you need to be. Well, when you go into ketosis, ketones are now created as fragments of fat, and those numbers go up. So that's going to bring your pH down. Whenever your body is out of homeostasis, like too acidic, it's got to have a mechanism to bring it back. Your body always wants to bring you back to normal.
Right.
So it's going to start looking for the most basic mineral in your body. The most basic mineral in your body?
Calcium.
Mm-hmm. So now your body starts pulling calcium out of your bones to bring your pH back to 7.35. Mm. Will you lose weight? Absolutely. Will your risk of osteoporosis go up? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Will your risk of colon rectal cancer go up?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Your carbohydrates are your number one source of B vitamins, and B vitamins turn food into energy. Mm-hmm. So are you going to feel like doing HIIT training?
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
So, but again, bodybuilders and fitness competitors do it. But the minute they step off stage, where do they go?
Carbs, baby.
Yes, they go to the pizza parlor.
You see it all the time.
Yes.
Chocolates and everything.
It's what your body is craving. If your body is craving something, unless it is dopamine inspired up here, which would probably be a whole nother show in itself, because we've turned this country into hyper palatable foods, foods that taste and feel so good going down, that that's all we want anymore. And we are addicted to them, but you will lose weight. But in the long run, it is not healthy for you.
Jeez. Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people who've done the keto and they can't maintain it, and they have great results initially, but it's just not something they can maintain ever. And so it's, and you know, it drives me crazy when people post things on social media and they hashtag keto, you know,
but there's broccoli keto in the picture.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's like
broccoli and cheese does not ketosis make.
Yes.
So
what about, like, I know paleo and Whole 30. I mean, I think those are what similar. I like some of those other.
Those are high protein and those are also high carb. You can have all the greens you want on paleo and Whole 30, which makes it great. They don't limit your meat, but they do make your meat be grass fed, which is healthier for you. But the thing about animal protein is that nitrogen has to be denatured. And whenever you denature that nitrogen, your liver and your kidneys go to work overtime to form urea. The other great thing about paleo is no processed food
whatsoever.
And right then you're going to see a weight loss. Take away people's boxes of cookies and bags of crackers. And that in itself, you know, I still do a little bit of personal training on the side, work for a teeny tiny little gym. And I'll only take people if they'll sign up with me for 15 weeks. And in those 15 weeks, they have to change one eating habit a week. So I give them a list of 15 things and they pick out which one they want to do first. Let's say one of them says fast food, no more than one time a week. Well, if they're already off fast food, that's the one they pick. And so they become in control of their eating patterns. And then they layer on another process. Well, if we could get people to quit eating things in a box and a bag.
Yeah.
Their weight would drop
tremendously.
Yes, tremendously.
What about this thing where you shouldn't eat foods that have lectins in it. Is it lectins that, like nightshade vegetables?
That's going to be people that are more prone to inflammatory states.
That's what I thought.
That's going to be one of those things where you take a food out, you see if your joints feel better when you put it back in. Very individualized.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I mean, I like my nightshades.
And if,
I love bell peppers.
If it doesn't bother you, they're great. Your highest vitamin C is a red pepper.
I love them. It's about the only vegetable I eat.
If it doesn't bother you, don't take it out.
Yeah. I think so, too. Absolutely. Yeah.
And they say people that have joint issues, and I have arthritis badly, are bothered by nightshades. I can eat tomatoes in moderation. Mm-hmm. I can eat peppers in moderation, but I can't eat them all day long.
Right.
But then again, if I'm eating a varied diet, who needs to do that? Right.
You wouldn't do it
anyway. Right,
because
you're going to be eating other things anyways. Right. Mm-hmm. So you touched a little bit on, I know that we already talked about the menopause, but you touched a little bit on the 2,000 calories.
Yes, I was going to ask that
too. I want to know, obviously, as we head into menopause, we can't be putting things on our plate in the quantities that we used to.
Absolutely. Number one, shrink your plates. One of the smartest things you can do is go to Goodwill and buy a smaller set of plates, because the average dinner plate in the house is 10 inches in diameter. Do you know what the average dinner plate is in a restaurant?
No.
12 inches in diameter.
We don't want to know.
Shrink your plate to 8 inches in diameter or 6 inches in diameter. Switch the color of your plate. What is the color of every plate in a restaurant?
White.
White, because your food looks better
on there. Yeah.
Blue and yellow make your food look horrible.
Oh.
So switch to a blue or
yellow
plate.
I totally am going out to get plates.
I don't know that you can find them because they make your food look so bad. Minimize your portions, but the first thing everybody has to do is they have to figure out how many calories they can intake and either maintain their weight or lose some weight. And there's a simple website where if you punch into your bar, your search bar, Harris Benedict Calculator, it'll walk you through how many calories you need to stay the weight that you are at your current activity level. If you want to lose weight, aim for 1 pound per week. There's 3,500 calories in a pound, 7 days in a week. So divide 3,500 by seven, you get 500. But if you tell the average woman to take 500 calories out of her daily diet, what's going to happen?
She's going to binge.
Yeah, it won't happen. So it's better just to say, remember, all you have to do is create a caloric deficit. Take 250 out. That's probably your three cookies that you snuck when the kitchen was still open. And work out 250 calories longer. And that will show a nice, slow weight loss. And women should not go below 1,200 calories unless seen by a registered
dietitian. Yeah, I agree.
Because some women go as low as 800, and that's going to throw that throws everything into a tail.
All your hormones and everything.
Yes.
I mean, that's barely
eating.
About, yeah,
that's not going to keep you alive. Most people burn that much just digesting food, and their liver working and their kidneys working.
Right.
So,
you got anything else?
I'm trying to think.
I have so many.
Other it's just like fatty things that.
Oh, we were talking about waist trainers, like some of these
spot training,
or just those things that people are wearing. I just can't imagine that they're
good for keep
you.
Going. Keep going. What does that remind you of?
A corset, or
men that used to wear weight belts.
Yeah.
Yes.
And why did they wear weight belts?
To protect their spine, supposedly,
and
right?
And what have we learned over the years in the fitness business protects our spine?
Our core being strong.
Bingo. You just answered your question.
Well,
so when somebody puts that on, whether it's to lose weight, to protect their back, to make them sweat, they're actually turning off their core musculature.
Their abdominals.
37 different muscles will be affected.
Oh, my gosh.
Are they going to sweat more? Absolutely. Is that good for them? Not if it's only in one spot and it's because you've laced something up extremely tight.
But then your core musculature cannot do its job.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So you're more likely to get hurt someday when you're bending down to pick up your dog when you don't have your corset on.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let's teach people how to brace their core and, you know,
I agree.
Be healthy in the way we work out. If anything was a quick fix, the world would not be obese.
Exactly. I agree.
You didn't gain 30 pounds overnight. You're not going to lose 30 pounds in one day or one week or probably even a year. Mm-hmm. So slow and steady wins the race. Anything that comes off faster.
Just like you're not going to make or break a habit in 21 days either.
Yeah,
you can't train a dog in 21 days. You tell me you're going to give something
well,
up.
Well, I mean, everybody wants everything so fast.
Yes.
You know,
it's the world we live in.
Yeah, it is.
So they don't put in the time. They're not patient enough. And so anything that appeals to them, and especially if a celebrity endorses it, then, I mean, absolutely. I mean, the Kardashian sisters endorse waist trainers and a certain tea and
because somebody's paying you money. And the more money you have, the more you can hire your private chef. Mm-hmm. Your personal trainer can come to your house. You can have
plastic surgery.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All of those things.
All of the things.
And that's what's so sad about the world that we live in is we will take a celebrity's advice over a certified personal trainer or a college graduate or even somebody who sat for a certification exam. All of a sudden, a celebrity knows more than someone who has the credentials. Mm-hmm. That's the world we live in.
The only other thing I was going to ask is if you could strongly what is one exercise for anybody, it could be male or female, that you think is the most important? And it doesn't have to be like a certain, it doesn't have to be like shoulder raises, but, you know, Pilates or yoga or anything. Like, what's one thing that you would strongly encourage everybody to try to, that is beneficial for anybody?
Strength train.
Okay.
With heavier weights. Not a sculpting class or a toning class, because really when you look back on it, what is sculpting?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Toning, but building muscle. And that also, as we age, I am technically now, I am a senior at Goodwill. Mm-hmm. I get the discount at Goodwill. Mm-hmm. I am an active ager.
Right.
Yes.
I am technically a senior. I got my AARP card 5 years ago. And we all know that the biggest thing you can do as you age is to lift weights. You're naturally going to lose muscle, sarcopenia, and you lose type 2 muscle fibers first. Mm-hmm. And you got to keep those type 2. Those are also the ones that hypertrophy. So those are the ones that are going to burn fat. So you got to lift weights and you got to lift them heavy. So you got to stay away from the 55 shoulder presses,
right?
55 push-ups. If you can do 55 push-ups, put your feet on a table and change the angle and see if you can do 55 push-ups. Mm-hmm. If you're doing 55 of anything, that's not your type 2 fibers.
Right.
That's your type 1 fibers. So type 2 muscle strengthening as opposed to endurance.
I love that.
I love that.
Yeah.
So good.
It is so good, isn't it?
Yes.
What about, really quickly, I know we're running out of time in a second, but really quickly, what about all of these folks that you see in the gym that are doing all these crazy different variations of shoulder presses and squats and, you know, adding different equipment and squatting this way and squatting in this position and using a machine backwards? And I always think basic is the best.
Basic,
but that's just me.
Basic is the best, and your form has to be perfect before you start doing modified stances. You know, obviously, we're always going to start doing something with both arms bilaterally. Then we're going to go unilaterally. And then if you want to put yourself on a stability ball, that's great. But I think the problem that we have in the fitness world is we want to jump into the number three progression before mm-hmm. we've made sure yes. that our people can do the basic mm-hmm. squat against a stability ball against the wall. Mm-hmm. We tell everybody in a squat class or in a class where we're doing squats to load your bar and put it on your shoulders. Mm-hmm. We better look at our class and make sure they can squat correctly.
Exactly.
Thank goodness there's now functional movement screenings. People are getting mm-hmm. FMS certified. That's improving. But a lot of people are doing it on their own and they're going to get hurt.
Right. I agree. And so when you say strength training and lifting heavy, kind of the caveat with that is, if you're listening to the podcast and you have never exercised, do right. not go in the gym and say, well, that Melissa on Anissa Ellen Raw said lift heavy. You need to know what the hell you're doing yeah. first.
Well, lifting heavy to somebody who's never worked out would be 10 yeah. pound weights
correct.
Tops.
That's
whereas
true.
If somebody gave you 10 pound weights,
it would, yeah.
that's not your type too. But somebody mm-hmm. who's never exercised before,
that would be, yeah.
would be. That would be. Mm-hmm. They're, yeah. they're going to be all over the place with anything heavier than that.
Yeah. yeah. This has been so great.
I could have her stay for like
I
five
know,
more hours.
I know.
We definitely have to bring her back.
So
for
we
other
definitely
stuff.
Have to bring her back.
Yes.
And even the next time we have a bunch of women on, because we need to just chat with you personally, sister.
You know I'm not going to say anything if there's a bunch of women here.
That's
true. The introvert will take over.
I
yes.
love
yes.
it.
Thank you so,
thank
so
you
much
so
for being
this
here.
This has been thank you. The best.
Thank you.
The best
I enjoyed
ever.
It.
I mean, I've learned so much.
I
yes.
have too.
And it's just fascinating to watch you talk, and her arms and her hands are moving, and she's so passionate.
And, markers.
And she's, I love
and I just
it.
Cannot even believe that you're that you have an AARP card.
I know.
Holy
she
shit.
She doesn't look like it.
Oh my god,
we're
going to
post
guys,
her picture. You're
going to
see. Yes.
Yes.
All right.
You can
we're
hear
good.
Anissa and Ellen on multiple platforms. I don't even know why I said it like that.
You can visit ATLPN.com, Atlanta Podcast Network.com, on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, and Spotify.
And just search for ATL Podcast Network. That's really the best way to
right.
find us,
mm-hmm.
or Anissa Ellen Raw to find our show. And when you go to ATL Podcast Network, hit that subscribe button.
Yes. You can follow us on Instagram. The Facebook group is Anissa and Ellen Raw, Real Authentic Women.
Yep. And Anissa Ellen Raw on Instagram.
And Ellen Nicole.
Anissa Amison.
Thank you so much.
Thanks
we
for
are
coming.
So
thank you.
Blessed that you came in here.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
It's
excellent.
It was, right. my, it was my honor.
Hi,
my
Mama.
So good.
Thank you so much.